Welcome to the happiest podcast on earth.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the happiest podcast on earth. You guys, happy Friday. I hope everyone here has had a wonderful week. I hope you're excited for your weekend. I hope you're ready to do some relaxing or maybe go to the parks. If you're going to the parks, I'm really jealous. But anyway, you guys, this week is a bit of a special episode. We have a lot going on this week. Hunter and AJ are on vacation. Andrew's working some crazy hours. And personally, I am getting ill. Womp. So we thought this week would be a really, really good week to introduce the sister podcast that we have been working on called Mickey and the Mouse. It is ran by me and my husband, John. We've been having so much fun with it. And we thought instead of leaving you guys with no content this week because of how chaotic our schedules have been, plus illness, we would give you guys an episode from our sister podcast because why not? So today you're going to be hearing an episode from me and my husband called The Beauty and the Beast Expanded Universe. Guys, Beauty and the Beast goes a lot deeper than you might think, and we dive into it. We're talking Marvel backgrounds, VHS content that you really can't find on the internet, like literally scrubbed from the internet. We're talking specials, video games, anything you can think of, it is being covered, and it's pretty funny and goes much deeper than I ever thought it would. So, if you love Beauty and the Beast, I think you're gonna love this episode. Thank you guys for being patient with us, and we hope you enjoy Mickey and the Mouse. Don't worry, we'll be back next week with more original Happiest Podcast content. Happy Friday, you guys, and enjoy!
Welcome to Mickey and
the Mouse.
Hey everybody, it's Mel here and...
You, it's John.
Welcome back to Mickey and...
The Mouse.
We are so excited. Episode 4. Are you ready?
Oh yeah.
I'm so ready. Guys, thank you so much for your continued support. We really, really appreciate it. We're having so much fun. Please go follow us at our Instagram, Mickey and the Mouse Pod, and feel free to DM us some ideas. We would love to get your feedback on things you want to hear about and listen to. We also want to thank... We got our first written review.
So sweet.
So nice. I believe it was Horton. His name was Horton.
Yes. CD,
and he said he loved it. So thank you so much for loving the podcast.
It's like 12, I think 12 reviews right now.
I think total.
Stars.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very proud of it. We're small, but we're mighty. Yeah. So we appreciate you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you. With that being said, let's skip all over the mushy stuff. I think we're just ready to jump into this really hefty This is going to be a longer episode.
Incredibly expansive.
This is incredibly expansive. So to give you an idea of how this came to be, John and I are going to do a little reenactment of how this week went. And this was on, what, Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. So Saturday, I go, hey, babe.
Yeah?
You know we got to record an episode by, like, Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to talk about?
I don't know. We just talked about the VHSs.
Oh, we could do the sequels. We could talk about those direct to video sequels.
I'm down for that.
Okay. Let's pull up a list.
Oh, well, there's a ton of these.
There are so many, guys. There's no way we could. It would be a 3-hour podcast, and
I want to say there's at least 25.
We don't have the time for that.
For the turnaround? No.
No. So then we were like, okay. Okay, we could break these up into 5-year segments. Well, then we decided to start with Beauty and the Beast. We decided to start with Belle's Magical World. Things quickly devolved from there because immediately, as we put this on yesterday with our friends Gabby and Roy, they came to watch with us.
Shout out.
They're awesome.
We'll eventually have them on the pod.
Oh, for sure. We sit there, we put it on, and they call the one character Fifi.
Who?
You might know her also as Babette.
Zephezodaster.
Or Plumet. Or Marie. She has 4 different names.
Wait, I thought Marie had the baguettes.
Nope. Not in this.
A different Marie. Whoa.
So we immediately got... It stalled everything. We immediately paused and were like, why are there 4 different names for a feather duster that's considered a secondary character in Beauty and the Beast? Then we went down a rabbit hole of why is there so much content for Beauty and the Beast? So we have decided today's episode is going to be the expanded universe that is Beauty and the Beast.
This is
going to
be an iceberg style podcast.
Yeah.
Starting off with the the top. Everybody knows this.
We're going to go with the good stuff, and it's going to
work
delve.
Our way into the depths.
And I have to give my wonderful husband credit. He came up with the expanded universe idea. It was a night last night, guys. If you do follow us on Instagram, you saw I was posting stories. We watched every single piece of Beauty and the Beast content.
I want to say we started around 5.
And we didn't end until like midnight.
I stayed up to 2 in the morning watching the final thing.
Oh, yeah. I think I fell asleep around 1:30. I couldn't do it anymore.
When we get into this final thing,
you'll understand why,
your
guys.
Minds will blow.
They're going to blow, because mine definitely did. So
let's start a resurgence.
Yeah. Honestly, and this is where the mouse part comes in. Here's your little the mouse tidbit for the week. Disney will kill its own franchise and beautiful artwork for a buck. I'm sorry. This is a perfect example of a company that said, oh, this works? Great. Make enough content until it kills everything that was beautiful and good about it.
But to circle back from last week's discussion, they're going out of their way to pretend some of this never existed.
Oh, yeah. They're totally... Yeah, guys, they have straight up wiped some of this from existence. And I'm so excited to talk about it because maybe someone knows it. And maybe they have a copy of it somewhere.
I would be very interested to watch the final
one. I would
pay
good money to get my hands on the final thing we're talking about. But we'll get there. We'll get there. So I think to start, we're going to start with, like we said, the simple, beautiful things. So we're going to go into the 1991 classic film, Beauty and the Beast.
Ooh, I like that. A little zest you threw in there.
Thank you. So, babe, on a scale from 1 to 10, where do you rank?
Oh, it's a perfect 10.
It's a perfect 10. I would give it 100 out of 10, to be honest. I'm breaking my own scale. I love Beauty and the Beast. I truly think it's one of Disney's best works.
We have artwork of Beauty and the Beast right behind us
right now. We have so much. We have 1, 2... I thought I had 3. Maybe it's only 2. We have 2 pieces of Beauty and the Beast, but I also have... I have Lennox figurines of Belle and the Beast. We have the rose with the glass case.
I own a Beast mask.
We own a Beast mask. I have the Beast mirror. I have a bunch of Beauty and the Beast pins and a 30th anniversary pin. You got me the beautiful glass... cut
from
rose
Lennox.
It wasn't Lennox. It was Swarovski.
Swarovski, yeah, that's right.
So yeah, we're kind of low key obsessed with Beauty and the Beast. So we're definitely going to be a little
biased,
but I think it's worth it. It is such a good property.
Best song, go.
Oh, I think Something There.
Okay.
I know that's not the popular opinion. But
it's cheesy.
You know,
it's
cute. I like my romance.
There you go.
What about you?
Mob Song.
Okay.
It's great. Anything
I'm
involving...
I'm surprised it's not Gaston.
Well, Gaston is number 2, but the mob song is just such like a bop.
It's a bop.
And I honestly think there's been a huge resurgence of that when people are thinking of like great Disney songs.
The mob song, yeah. No, that's good. Do you have anything that you would change about this film?
From perfection?
Well, you always have a quip of some kind. There's always something that you're like, oh, well, they could have really done this better. Like, there's nothing you were like, oh, they should really change this.
If you really want me to go into the weeds... the whole reveal of the Beast, I kind of find a little weird. Just like, if you're going to have your character in shadow, have him in shadow. Like, don't know what his design looks like until the step into the light line.
Step into the limelight.
He does a big Busby Berkeley number.
Uh-huh.
But when he's like, step into the light would be way more impactful if you didn't quite know what the Beast looked like originally. Because once he transforms in the story, you're like, oh, that's what he looks like. And you're like, oh, it's supposed to be a surprise.
But it's also, I think they did that on purpose because it is a children's film at the end of the day. And they wanted him to be likable. Let's be real. If they wanted the Beast to be truly ghastly and scary, he would not have looked the way he did. He's like a buffalo...
Monster
with a cape.
It's like a buffalo, a bear... Some other things.
There were a couple
in. Maybe
things
a lion.
In there. Maybe a little bit of lion in there. Look, we love our Beast. Really, this film is just so gorgeous. You know it already. I feel like we don't have to take too much time to talk about it. You understand why it's great. We understand why it's great. Everyone knows it's good. We know it's good. We're going to move on to the Broadway musical, which was, it debuted in April of 1994. And I believe it was Disney's first theatrical venture.
Yes, this then Lion
then
King.
Lion King. That's a really big deal. The Broadway musical is gorgeous.
I saw it.
You saw it. You were so... Oh, I'm so jealous. You know what's going on tour?
I'm super hyped for that. We're going to have to get tickets.
I really would love to see a professional version of the show. I've never seen it done by, like, the Disney approved, you know, national touring company or like Broadway company.
Community theater.
We've seen community theaters do it, and they do a great job, but, like, I want to see Disney level theatrics. I want to see the Beast transform on stage. That is like a dream.
That is a core memory.
I know it
is.
That is
a core theatrical memory, is watching the Beast transform on stage.
I would imagine that is almost like me seeing Elphaba defy gravity for the first time. Like, I was really young when I saw Wicked. I was like 7. And that will always be in my head, is Shoshana Bean, who is my Elphaba, just like soaring into the sky for the first time. That like blew my mind. Is that kind of like where that sits for you? Like, that was like a whoa.
Oh, no doubt. It was, you saw him get up from the ground and rise in the air, and he did the twirl and the flash, the blinding light. It was just fantastic.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. And they did add more music. I will say the biggest key difference in the Broadway show is they did add more music with Howard Ashman, RIP. So, so sad what happened to him.
Generational talent.
It really, truly a lost talent. There was so much more he had to give, but he left something so gorgeous that we can sit and talk about.
And pure.
And pure. And guys, there's a whole documentary about him on Disney Plus where they talk about his life. And he did Little Shop of Horrors. He did The Little Mermaid. He helped write music for Aladdin. But he really put his heart into Beauty and the Beast. And it was because, unfortunately, he did die from AIDS. And this was a really big crisis in the 80s and 90s. And I don't want to go too deep into it. This is a lighthearted podcast. We're not trying to hash up things that hurt. But with that in mind, knowing he felt ostracized from society for who he was and what he was suffering from.
Really, this is his swan song.
It's his swan song. And he took that pain, and you can feel it in this movie and in this show. This sadness, but this tinge of hope and love and just a hopefulness for something better, you
the
know?
The melodies too, just phenomenal.
They have this sweet sorrow to them that are just, oh, they just get me every time.
They're haunting.
They're haunting. It's every time I watch Beauty and the Beast, it puts me in this mood that I can't totally explain. But like, I just get very like stuck in it, you know? And I really feel like that's his legacy. Like,
it feels alive.
Mm-hmm.
Beauty and the Beast feels alive.
It feels alive. And I feel like the Broadway show did a very good job adding to that and keeping that feeling.
And keeping the legacy.
And also, Broadway was his thing. Broadway was his baby. He had done quite a few things on Broadway and a couple ventures in New York. So I feel like it was only right they did a Broadway show. I feel like that completely fits in bringing Beauty and the Beast to this elevated place and keeping that elevated name. So I don't think there's much more we have to say about it. It is on par with the movie. It's beautiful. Favorite Broadway show song, though, because there are more.
Ooh, my favorite one. I really like... Oh, man, there's so many.
I know. There's a lot of songs in the Broadway show.
Probably the Act One finale.
That's a really good song.
Terrence Mann. We didn't even talk about Terrence Mann.
We love Terrence Mann. He's great. And Susan Egan. Really awesome. I really love Home. It's one of my favorite songs.
It's a good song.
It's a really good song. John's just looking at me like, of course you'd pick the female solo I Want song. Of yep. course you would do that. And I would. I'm predictable, okay? It's her Part of Your World moment. Let it happen.
Let her have it.
Let her have
it. You know what? I'm not knocking it.
Let her cook.
Let her cook. Let you cook with your response.
Thank you, babe.
And your opinion.
Oh, I appreciate that. But no, I really, really, really love the Broadway show. Beautiful. Wonderful. Love Susan Egan. Love Terrence Mann. It's really awesome because Susan Egan is Megara. So it's kind of fun to listen to Megara be Belle, basically, because her voice is like, she didn't change it for Megara or for Belle. So it's the same tonation. There's no difference, you know?
I don't remember quite the sarcasm, though.
Well, no, but her voice has that low kind of like drippingness to it. I don't know how to explain.
There's a quality.
She has a sultry sound that you can't replicate very easily. And she definitely played it up for Megara, but like, it's always there. It's very easy to hear Susan Egan. She has this very distinctive sound. So if you've never listened to the Broadway soundtrack, highly recommend, 10 out of 10. All right, let's go into it. Let's talk about the next piece, which is the live action film, which was in 2017.
Not a bad movie.
I thought it was good. It would have been better if Emma Watson wasn't in it.
Oh my gosh. What a spicy take.
Look, I'm not trying to be mean because I know she took voice lessons and I'm sure she did her darndest. I'm sure she did. it didn't hit for me, and it didn't hit for our friend Gabby either, who can be very blunt, and we love her so much. And we're sitting there watching it yesterday, and she just goes, "Oh no, she's back on screen."
Yeah, she's very to the point.
I love Gabby. She's amazing and perfect and wonderful. But no, she made me laugh so hard. Oh my gosh. Because it's true. Every time she came on screen, we just kind of went, "Oh, okay."
Meanwhile, everyone else was like really giving their hearts to this project.
And you felt it. Ewan McGregor, Audra McDonald. You had Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci wasn't it.
You have the guest on is Luke Evans.
Luke Evans.
You
Josh
have
Gad.
Josh Gad. You have a lot of Broadway people in there. Why couldn't Belle just have been a Broadway performer? I don't understand. There's definitely...
Well, because she was Hermione.
It's annoying. She got paid $17 million for that movie.
In 2017.
In 2017. So that, you know, that goes further than it would now. Come yeah. on. That's crazy. I'm sorry. That's crazy. That's crazy. And the auto-tune was just... bad. It just
it's bad
good.
When your first note is like
so the second she opens her mouth, it's like, oh, this is a computer, which partially that's on the sound mixers. Like, guys, come on,
you can only do so much.
Yeah, but no, so I really do think that drags it down from what I would call the best live action to maybe the second or third.
Oh, it's still in the top five.
It's still in the top five, but Cinderella's number one for me for sure.
Cinderella and Jungle Book, those yeah. were like 1-2
yeah.
punch, just in terms of great quality films.
Agreed. The other big gripe I have with the live action is that yellow dress. What horrendous choice they... I don't understand. Like, what compelled them to think that was the outfit?
Oh, speaking of yellow, on your TV settings... turn off HDR.
Oh my gosh, it was horrible. We're watching it. Everyone is, they look jaundiced.
Insanely yellow.
Especially Kevin Klein. He looked very, very yellow.
He had like a mane.
Yeah, it was interesting. And he also patches of his face literally were like yellow. It was very weird.
Like I had to go into my PlayStation 5 settings and turn off HDR.
HDR for the film. We haven't had that kind of, our TV's brand new. We haven't had that issue with any other film thus far. I don't know what it was about this movie that just was so yellow.
I have no clue.
Weird color correction going on there. Maybe someone will know and they'll let us know why that would be the case. But Disney really went very yellow for this film. It was a little weird. But with that being said, I'd still rank this very highly. This is why it's number three on our list of things to talk about. Because there's really not much to say. It's beautiful. It still holds that beauty we talked about and the original piece and idea. I don't think it detracts from Beauty and the Beast. Now we're going to get into the things that start to, I think, personally, drag Beauty and the Beast down.
I wouldn't say drag, but it's definitely like the...
It's a big jump.
Oh, wow. They didn't need to do this.
No, they did not. They did not. And this is the first one we truly felt was like, why did we have to... We didn't have to do this. No one said we had to do this. And that is the Enchanted Christmas special from 1997.
It is something.
It's... a lot. I will say the animation is better than some of the later pieces we'll talk about.
It's not awful.
Tim Curry makes it great.
Tim Curry's phenomenal.
Tim Curry is the villain in this. He plays the organ maestro, right? Isn't that his name? Is Maestro? Or...
Forte.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was getting the live action mixed up with that because she calls the one guy
yes.
Maestro. Forte is this guy's name.
And then the little flute is Fife.
Fife, that's right. And, it's funny because they were doing that thing they did in the 90s where they were mixing CGI with cartoon, like real, it was not, the blend isn't there, you know?
They tried integrating it.
They tried integrating it the best they could. And what's funny is Beauty and the Beast did have a CGI scene and it was the ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
That pan was CGI, but it blended so well. This did not do that. It's straight cutting to like the CGI sections and then back to 2D.
Yeah, it would be like, here is the organ.
Who's,
here is his lackey. Here
yeah.
is the organ. Here is his lackey.
It was not very well integrated.
It has some of the best lines in
it
film,
It does
though.
Have, yeah, it does have some ridiculous lines.
Well, they can't fall in love if they're
dead. It was a lot. There was just so much there.
Great on Bernadette Peters, though.
Yeah, Bernadette Peters was in multiple of these spinoffs, wasn't she?
She was at least the ornament.
Yeah, no, she did great. Love her. She's awesome.
Everything else is okay.
Everything else is, yeah.
The animation was pretty.
The animation was fine.
Not as great as the original movie, by
no
means.
I love Belle's Christmas dress, the red dress, which she does wear in the parks for Christmas time. But this movie is like, and this is the issue with a lot of these direct to, you know, video movies.
So something we're going to do at the end of this is we're going to talk about these films, and then we're going to make like a super cut of where all of them take place in the timeline.
Yeah, it's very strange.
The sacred timeline.
The sacred timeline. What the issue with these films are a lot is the Beast loses all of the character development you see, and they make him so unlikable that if this were in the movie, like if this actually happened and was in the original like film,
it's hard to redeem.
Nobody would like him. He's just horrible. He treats Belle so poorly.
The majority of these take place, in my mind,
in that winter section.
It's right from where he saves her
mm-hmm.
to right before they sing the Something There That Wasn't There Before song.
It has to be somewhere around
that is
them.
The only window mm-hmm. where like 90% of this stuff that would we're gonna be talking
sense.
About
yeah.
makes sense.
And he's just horrible. Truly horrific. And Belle just keeps putting up with it.
He hates Christmas.
He hates Christmas. Oh, man.
I'm just laughing to myself just thinking about the amount of Christmas hate that this movie has.
Also, this does confirm there are theories about how old the Beast was when he was turned. In this version, he was like a 10-year-old boy that got turned by the witch. Which is an interesting choice.
Good on him for answering his own front door.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When you see a 10-year-old answer the... Like, of course I tell the old lady I don't know to get out. That's, like, the right thing to do.
In the live action, the plague was going on.
Plague. We didn't get to talk... We didn't talk about plague.
We didn't talk about plague. That's one of our favorite lines
of
that movie.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Yeah, back to live action when he goes, plague. I just laugh every time. I don't know why. It's not appropriate. Plague sucks, you know? But just the way he says it makes me laugh.
That changes the whole context. Yeah, why open the door to a person I don't know?
But no, honestly, think about it. Like, when you're a kid, you were
taught... She looks haggard, too.
And she looks scary, and you're taught stranger danger. If I saw this scary old lady at the door, I'd be like, no, get out. I'd probably do that now.
I'm pro-Beast.
Yeah, I'm kind of pro-Beast in that moment.
I'm pro-Beast in the situation.
But
now.
Honestly, besides that moment, the Beast is terrible.
Yeah.
Just dreadful.
Awful
there
guy.
Are some funny one-liners. Belle is pretty much a flat character. Lumiere and Cogsworth are there. Mrs. Potts is very cockney. And I know Angela Lansbury, she does have that kind of cockney tone, but they really amp it up in this to the point that it gets like annoying.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to the voice actress. I'm sure she was doing her best, but like, no, not a vibe. What would you give this film out of 10?
Out of 10? This one? 5.
Yeah.
It's a very nice 5.
I think, yeah, we're a very generous 5. Look, it's
Tim Curry, like
Tim Curry would be the reason to watch it because we love Tim Curry.
And just
sure.
The laughable lines of Christmas.
They can't fall in love if they're dead.
I'll sing something holly jolly.
It's just ridiculous. So I think it's time to move forward here. So we're going to move from Enchanted Christmas, which was 1997, to Belle's Magical World.
Oh, man.
Which was in 1998.
The quality drop is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It really, guys.
This is the era of Disney being like, hey, remember those movies you liked? Here's a TV show based on it.
Yeah, and they took a lot of those
pilots. There was
pilots.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
There was Hercules.
Aladdin had one.
Aladdin.
We have one of the Aladdin sketches on the wall.
Yes, we do.
From the actual TV show. It's pretty cool.
The Aladdin one was fine. The Hercules one was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I never really watched the Little Mermaid one.
It was fine. The Little Mermaid actually had a mermaid that was deaf. And she was, it was funny when the Little Mermaid live action came out, everyone's talking about, obviously, like, oh, she's, you know, African-American, whatever. Get over it. But then people were like, oh, actually, there already was an African-American mermaid. And that was in the TV show. She was deaf and she had dark skin. And it was like a big deal, you know? So it's like you had representation on multiple fronts there, which is, I think, cool. But, you know, that's just me. But no, there were also some failed pilots like Atlantis.
And this.
Guys, it really hurt my brain to watch this. I'm pretty sure I lost brain cells.
It is another midquel.
Oh, man. It's definitely that same time frame of like that winter between him saving her from the wolves and before something there. It has to be.
So I took notes on what the three episodes are called.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the first episode consisted of the Beast and Belle got in an argument and the Beast refused to apologize.
Oh, yeah. So then there were household objects that forged a note.
There was a book.
Yeah.
A quill and just some paper that was bound up together.
Yeah,
a scroll. Yeah. Like, no, not even a scroll. It was just paper folded.
Yeah.
It's not like a scroll, I think, is like, you know.
No, but you know what I mean. It's like tied up. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Nobody's going to talk about this one.
I would not recommend watching this. It's really horrible.
Like, I didn't write this letter.
Yeah, the whole point was like Beast got mad that they forged a letter and kicked them out of the castle. And it was this whole big thing.
Lumiere was flirting with a chandelier,
which was weird. And then, I'm sorry, her name is Fifi in this now. It's not Babette or
they
Plumette.
They did give it's Belle Fifi. A song in this. Forgettable song, but she did sing.
She also did Enchant a Christmas.
Yes.
But yeah, they're not good. They're just not good songs. It's like, we didn't need this. Nothing about this was necessary. And once again, the Beast is just cruel. He's supremely cruel to her. And she is just consistently being kind. And it gets annoying.
She's too nice.
And she never would have put up with it in the original film. Like, she wouldn't have.
Yeah, this whole, like, you need to control your temper. Like, that stuff, I don't really see her. Like, this iteration of the character.
She's much more Cinderella and much less Belle.
Yes.
And it gets very frustrating to see. It's definitely, at this point, they're taking the characters you fell in love with and they're slowly just killing them.
Mm-hmm.
And it only gets worse from here, kids.
Actually, no. The middle one is the best of the three.
Of the three little segments.
This is where we came across the whole, wait, the feather duster's name is Fifi?
Mm-hmm.
This is, it, because it was like Fifi's folly or something like that. And this one, Fifi believes that Belle is...
Oh, falling in love with Lumiere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because obviously Belle's going to fall in love with the candlestick.
Of course.
Clearly.
On their anniversary of all days.
Even though Lumiere already cheated on her with the chandelier. But sure, okay.
He kisses everybody.
Yeah, Lumiere's... Yeah, he's a flirt. We knew this, though.
Oh, no doubt. But, like, the best part about this is she's so angry and so vengeful.
She tries to kill her.
She cuts into
this, like, sled that Lumiere was making, thinking that it'll basically go off the road and kill them.
But she has her own hellfire moment.
She really does. She gets very spiteful, and we were kind of like, whoa, Fifi, Babette, Plumette, Marie, what are you doing here, man?
That's her official name now. I won't accept anything else.
Like, it just came out of nowhere. Very angry. And once again, oh my god, my brain hurts even thinking about it.
And then the final one was about the Beast at first didn't like this injured baby bird.
And then decided to jail the baby bird.
Because it could sing well.
It could sing well. And then it wouldn't sing for him and he got really angry. And then he decided he had to let it go. And then it came back with a girlfriend.
Yes. At this point, we watched the Fifi one and then we got really sidetracked because this one was just bad.
Yeah, like we were watching it. But honestly, guys, it was hitting a point like... We were kind of in and out with this one.
We cheered when it ended.
It was really bad. I don't recommend. I give this like what, a 2?
A worse. Like right? 2-1. Like bare. Like the colors were wrong. This is the cursed Belle image with the weird eyes.
Oh my gosh,
eyes.
The memes you see online where Belle's eyeballs are just going completely askew. And it wasn't one little shot. It is the entire freaking scene. Her eyeballs are going wonky. And I'm like, who greenlit this?
Yeah.
Once again, the mouse said, screw the art, screw the love and dedication, and the fact that someone wrote a swan song to this. Screw that. I want money.
Yeah.
And this... broke my heart a little bit. It really did. Don't watch it, guys. It's not worth it. And I'm sorry if you were a kid and watched this and loved it. I'm being honest with you. It's okay to like things that are terrible. I just won't watch this again. I refuse.
But still, these are things on Disney Plus.
Yep, they're on Disney Plus.
Readily accessible.
So Disney decided, as terrible as they are, they're still valid of being seen. Oh, it gets worse, kids.
Can I introduce this next one?
Yes.
All right, I'm really excited to talk about this. We were mentioning the different names.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you name them, please.
There's Fifi, Plumette, Babette, and Marie.
So when you go on Google and you type in what's the Feather Duster's name, it gives you these four names.
Yep.
I cannot wait.
It's ridiculous.
This is its moment.
It's ridiculous.
We are calling out Kevin Feige. Beauty and the Beast is a Marvel comic.
I literally thought you were kidding when you told me that.
There were 13 issues put out. It is insane. They came out around the same time. It was like 1994.
Yeah, wasn't it 94 to 95?
94 to 95. Yeah. 13 issues.
Insane.
Same window of the... She's in the castle with
so
the
So it was definitely that... Once again, it's all in that winter time in between land, basically.
But yes, there are 13 Marvel comics about Beauty and the Beast. Did I read them? No.
No, we just know they exist.
But we know they exist
now. And that's enough for me, honestly. I don't need more.
What
no.
more can we really talk
well,
about?
Well, and then I saw... We have notes. Full disclosure, we have notes, because this is a lot to keep track of. And I'm seeing a note here that says, came up with the concept of the wardrobe being the opera singer?
Yes.
Really?
So the wardrobe that was in the original
Are
film...
Are you sure that was... Well, no,
because... No, because I read this.
But was that in the musical first, maybe? Because she was operatic in the musical, so do you think they took it from the musical and transposed it into the comic?
There is a chance.
Because she was an opera
singer. These were probably
singer.
Being developed at the same time. This probably was released first.
I'm also pretty sure, this is a side note and not as important as the Fifi, Babette, Plumette, Marie storyline here, but I'm pretty sure the wardrobe has a couple different names as well.
We didn't even look into it. Oh, nope. We learned that the dog's name is Sultan.
Oh yeah, the dog's name is Sultan. So random. You find that out in Belle's Magical World.
She says his name like three times.
Multiple times.
In the same scene.
It is, yeah, like four times in the same scene.
Oh, Sultan, aren't you great? Oh my gosh, Sultan.
I don't understand this giving things multiple names because we can't just decide on something. It's kind of confusing. But yeah, no, Marvel Comics. So if you have the Beauty and the Beast Marvel Comics, take a picture and send it to us. I just want to see that it's actually real.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that Marvel was like, yeah, this is what we're going to invest our money in.
All right, this is something that I didn't plan for this episode.
Hmm.
What characters do you think would, like, jive well with Beast and Belle?
What, in the Marvel universe?
Yes.
I feel like the Hulk and the Beast.
They'd be bros.
They would be bros. I feel like Belle would get along with any of the females. I feel like her and... I was going to say ScarJo, but that's not her character. Black Widow. I feel like they're both very smart. Even her with Wanda, pre-Wanda losing her absolute mind, mm-hmm. would be really a fun pairing up in there. I think her and Wakanda, she loves to read. That would be so much for her to invest her time into. Beast is there to just pummel the poop out of people.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? He doesn't need to do much besides that. I'm sure him and Thor would have fun drinking beers and smashing them on the floor. You
Once
know?
Again, just make this happen.
They have the ability. Disney owns it all. Like, make it happen.
Like, have one of those big ensemble shots where they threw in, like, Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
And have Belle and the
Beast.
And just
have Belle and the Beast in there somewhere.
Have people incredibly confused.
I would love to see Belle just being one of those, like, computer geeks who helps them, like, hack into systems and stuff, and then Beast just going to pummel the poop out of people.
Oh, I totally would do that.
Hysterical. But once again, kind of destroying the beauty and the artistic form that was Beauty and the Beast, but at least it would be entertaining. If you're going to ruin characters, do it in a funny way.
I agree.
So, I think we're done with the Marvel. Do you have anything else to add to the Marvel Comics cinematic moment?
No, there's not much to talk about other than the fact that, hey, this exists.
Yeah. We're going to move now into some of these smaller things before we get into our last really big piece here.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
We're saving the best for last. With that, I'm going to quickly discuss The Beast Within, which was the villains series. I'm sure some of you have read them. It's those really dark books you see in the park where you'll see, like, the villain on the cover, and it's, like, half the face.
Oh, they sell these at the parks?
They used to. I don't know if they still do, but there's a lot of them. There's, like, Gaston has a book, Ursula, Hades, Hook. Like, it's a whole series of stories.
Like, I see them when I'm walking in, like, a Target.
Yeah, I'm literally looking at the Target listing right now. They're all at Target if you do want to read
them. Well,
now
we have to read the Gaston book.
I'm kind of interested. So, basically, in this book, which is funny because Beast isn't a villain, but I guess he's like scary enough where they can throw him in there. This is a follow-up basically to The Fairest of Them All. Explores how the prince, once jovial and beloved by his people, became a reclusive and bitter monster. Is it possible that he can find true love and break the curse that's been placed upon him? Which is funny because that's basically what the story is already, but it's just a bit of a darker, from what I remember, it's been years since I read it, it's just a bit of a darker version of Beauty and the Beast. Belle is not the main character. She is discussed, but there's a lot more darkness to this. It is more mature. From what I remember, it was a
like
good
young
read.
Adult.
Yeah, I would say more of a young adult novel. Definitely not for kids.
Does it hurt the story?
I don't think it hurts the story. It kind of reminds me of like a Wicked, if that makes sense. But like book Wicked, which to some people who may have read the book version of Wicked, they're like, oh, that's terrifying. But no, it's just more of that like fairy tale realism, if that makes sense. Like they're not sugarcoating things. Like it's like the Beast was truly cruel to people, if that makes sense. And they talk about the witch has sisters and the sisters cursed her. It's a whole thing.
The Enchantress?
The Enchantress, yeah.
Oh.
But she's like got three sisters and they egg her on to like do stuff.
Did it keep the name Agatha?
No. No, I'm pretty sure that's a live action only.
That's an exclusive name.
Exclusive name. Yeah, no three names for her.
Four.
Four. But no, I...
Hey, episode four, four names. We found a way to integrate it.
We integrated it all together. But no, it's a book. I remember it being a decent book. If you like books, go read it. I don't really see the harm in it. It's good to read. Your brain needs it. Get off TikTok. Don't be like me.
See, she read this book. I have not.
John doesn't really like reading books. He'll do audiobooks. But even then, I don't really see you being like, yeah, I gotta read this book about the Beast.
Oh, it's a meat. Well, I mean, the amount of research we've done, now I may have to do this.
Yeah, this might become an extended situation for us. But yeah, really, that's all I have to say. There's no musical moments. It's just a book, so I don't have any visual format to connect it to as well. Read it or don't. It's not going to hurt you, though. And I don't think it really harms the universe of Beauty and the Beast.
No, not particularly. Now I want to discuss video games.
Yeah, there's a lot of Beauty and the Beast in video games.
Especially for me. And should we tell them that we're planning on doing this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We eventually plan on making a Twitch live stream channel for Mickey and the Mouse.
Yeah.
Where probably we're going
to
talk about...
We'll probably do it through HPOE to start, because I've been promising everyone on Patreon over there Twitch content for months.
Okay.
And this is a partnership, so there's no harm in
that's
that.
That's true, yeah, there's no harm
we
in
might
it.
Just... We're probably going to make it a joint effort with HPOE on this one, because Hunter already established a Twitch channel and everything.
Oh, he's already made one.
Yeah, he's used it like once, but yeah. Okay. He's like, Mel, take it over, do what you want. So we're actively researching. I feel bad because I pushed off the release date for this twice now to do this. But we want to make a streaming channel. We want it to be Kingdom Hearts, and we want it to be Dreamlight Valley.
Yes.
Other Disney games.
Maybe Epic Mickey comes out?
Epic Mickey, that's going to be crazy.
I can introduce you to the Super Nintendo Lion King.
Oh my gosh. And isn't there an Aladdin
game Aladdin. Too? It's a bundle.
Yeah. So we want to go through a lot of the Disney games. We think it would be a lot of fun. I watched John play Kingdom Hearts, and my brain breaks a little bit, so it should be a very entertaining time.
But now you're going to actually like pay attention to the story.
It's very confusing.
The first one isn't so bad. It's when it expands from
that
it's
like, what is happening? But it's fine. But no, so Kingdom Hearts does have Beauty and the Beast plots. Yes,
I'm just gonna go very briefly into it because the Beast doesn't show up that often, but he does show up. Like, he shows up, so in every world in the original game, it's just like, oh, this is Wonderland, this is Neverland, this is Atlantica. They show, like, the jungle from Tarzan, all these Disney worlds. And then you get to basically the second to last world of the game. It's called Hollow Bastion. And, yeah, that's what it's called. And just the Beast shows up.
Oh.
And at one point, like, Riku, who's, like, the rival character, is like, how'd you get here? He's like, I was missing Belle, and I, like, showed up. Is essentially what he said.
The Beast is such a good guy.
Yeah, he got beaten pretty easily.
Yeah.
But then he meets up with Sora, and they go and battle Sora. All those Heartless.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, he's pretty a cool guy in the first one. Not really much to talk about. Belle was kidnapped as part of the plot of the game.
Uh-huh.
And then It really expands more where you're in the Beast Castle in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Mm.
Which really interesting thing about Kingdom Hearts 2 is they incorporate elements of the Christmas movie in terms of character beats and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because the way that the game works is you visit the worlds the first time, and then the game makes you, like, go to the worlds a second time. So they'll have, like, another character kind of play, like, for lack of better words, the Gaston stand-in as there's the big battle at the end.
Right.
So, basically, which is really cool, because I was, like, seeing, like, okay, they came up with this character, like, it's a member of this thing called the organization, and he was just like, oh, don't trust Belle, don't love her, she wants to take everything from you. I'm like, oh, you're, like, the piano from the Christmas movie.
Yeah, you're, like, Forte. That's funny.
I swear to you, I was like, wow, they totally looked at that.
The organ.
Well, it was a piano connected to the organ.
You know what I mean, yeah.
Yes, no. Once they pulled the piano, he died.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, but they killed him pretty rough.
They did.
And he fell down.
Yeah, there was a lot there. Once again, villains falling to their death in Disney films seems to be a running theme here. But no.
And the very interesting thing about when you circle back and you're fighting the guy that I was telling you his name is Zaldan. So this is where, this is the first time in any of these media that, oh my gosh, they went past the part a little bit.
Mm.
Because it starts with they're about to do the dance in the big ballroom.
Oh, the Beauty and the Beast moment,
and
yeah.
And it's stopped by all this fighting that goes on.
Oh no.
And, oh man, you know, you ruined the party. Oh gosh, this really stinks. And they had to beat the guy in the courtyard. And then they have a little dance in the courtyard.
Aw, that's cute.
It is kind of cute. And it's just like, but they didn't transform him. He is still the Beast.
He's still Beast
in the game.
He is still Beast most places. So, okay, interesting.
Yes.
Dreamlight Valley is very similar, and it's a newer section as well. Some people might not have even gotten that yet.
It's a DLC?
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure it's a, yeah. I immediately was like, yes, please. So it wasn't even, I don't think you had to, well, it depends. If you've saved up Moonstones, it's a whole thing. You
could, so was it in the base game that you had to buy with currency in the game?
Or yeah, it's a currency in the game. Like the Twisted and the new, I keep saying Twisted. It's the Aladdin expansion.
Okay.
Twisted's a musical that's based on Aladdin. Give me some slack. No, so the Aladdin expansion you had to purchase. But there are pieces they put in each game that you could just use in-game currency. But a lot of people don't feel like saving up for that kind of thing, and they end up just paying.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's like you can purchase Moonstones.
So it's kind of like a Farmville kind of system?
Yeah, okay. Where you could, you know, your mom used to spend like how much money? Like $50 to like get what you know what I mean? So It's like, I'm pretty sure I did spend whatever the stupid amount was just to get Belle and the Beast, because I didn't feel like waiting for it. You know me, I'm impatient. So this is once again pre him being a prince, like a, you know, human prince.
So what's the story?
It's just you go to their castle, which is really cool. I love being able to walk around their castle. It's beautiful. It's pretty well laid out. And the whole point is, it's just Dreamlight Valley as a concept is basically all the characters were in your valley, and it's like your imagination. And then as you grew, you forgot. So it like broke Dreamlight Valley, and now you have to put it back together again. So all the characters have to remember that they used to live here and have fun together. So you have to go to all their separate worlds to bring them to your valley, and then you build them a house in the valley. And it's a really fun, I think of it kind of like a Animal Crossing. It's very similar to Animal Crossing.
Okay.
But it's Disney characters, which makes it a million times better to
me. Way better. Because you did play Animal Crossing and then
you
stopped.
Yeah, I did for this entirely. Whenever I go back to Animal Crossing, they're going to be so mad at me.
They're going to yell at you.
They're going to yell at me. And you know what? I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that kind of shame. Because I haven't played Dreamlight Valley in a couple weeks. I'll open that game and they're just going to be like, oh my gosh, Melinda, you're back. Hi. I need that in my life.
Yeah, it's
I
true.
I don't need shame from these little anime. It's like, I don't have time for that. I don't got time for it. You're annoying. I'm going to go play my Disney characters instead. So basically it's the Beast and Belle come to the village and they do tasks. And Beast is very depressed in this game. Like all he wants to do is impress Belle and make Belle happy. And I feel for the guy so bad. So you're like teaching the Beast how to be like more respectful and how to voice his feelings and
so
how to be more
the Belle
confident.
Journey.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And I just like walking through the castle, but you know, nothing really different, you know, very similar beats and storylines. That's really good.
I think we should just briefly mention now House of Mouse.
Oh yeah, they were in House of Mouse. They were a regular.
I will say when we're at the end of this podcast episode, when we're talking about the the sacred timeline of where everything we think would go. House of Mouse is the only element I'm saying this is separate.
Yeah.
This is its own thing.
Yeah. Everybody's really fit.
It's kind of like the sacred timeline, and then this is just the, hey, we know that we're actors.
Wait, it's a branch off.
It's a branch off.
You know how in there's
yeah,
like
a branch
the,
of the sacred timeline.
Yeah, it's a branch from the sacred timeline.
A variant.
It's a variant. It doesn't really, because they're actors. They know they're actors, and they're just there to
have fun.
I don't know if actor is what I would call it, because like everybody there is just chill. It doesn't mean their stories didn't happen, but they're just like, oh, whatever.
There was House of Villains where like they were still their own characters just in this world.
Yeah.
But the first part, it's kind of like, hey, man, we did that really like tough movie. Let's go hang out and have a, like, a, watch a comedy show.
Watch a comedy show. Let's go watch some old Mickey Mouse shorts. Yeah, House of Mouse, it's pretty to the point.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, he only shows up as the Beast. He does not show up as the Prince.
He does not show up as the Prince. We have seen nary a Prince in any of this.
Right.
So sad. But.
It's time.
I think it's time.
To quote Rafiki.
It is time.
It is time to go to the fever dream. That is. Sing Me a Story with Belle, which was from 1995 to 1997.
Like 23 or 26 glorious episodes.
It was a show with puppets that features Belle in a bookshop she bought. No Beast in any of these episodes from what I can tell.
We like pulled up like at least five or six of
yeah.
them.
Yeah. But they have a magic book, which is voiced by Jim Cummings.
I thought it was Jim
Cummings.
It's
Jim Cummings, which is kind of crazy.
Which, so you know that book we were talking about in the animated show?
Mm-hmm.
Not the Christmas one, the second one?
Mm-hmm.
I think that they took elements...
from that.
He looks very similar to the book in the animated
okay.
one.
Okay, yeah.
Different names. Like, this one's called Big Book. That one was called, I can't remember, because I really want to block that one
yeah,
from
that
my
one
memory.
Was really painful.
Don't get me wrong. I want to block this from my memory. We're going to talk
painful.
About this more.
Oh my gosh.
But this is just so you need to see it to believe it.
It's really, I think I'll post a link because it is horrendous.
Wait, keep going. Also, we have to mention before she keeps going on with her description of this. This is a sequel.
It is a sequel.
This is officially after the events
Insane.
Of the movie.
Insane. There are two bookworms in this named Lewis and Carol. And then there's Harmony the Cat. And then there's a bunch of 90s kids in modern clothing. And the episode that I watched on YouTube, there was Gaston, and he didn't die.
In the canon.
He just thought he was going to die. The official wiki says this takes place after the events of the original film. She decides to buy her own bookstore after marrying the prince. It is trippy as hell, guys. I hated every moment of this. So much.
It's amazing.
I can never get back the time spent on this.
I would watch every episode.
John was loving it. I wanted to claw my eyeballs out of my head. The Belle, no offense to this actress who really didn't do anything after this.
Oh, you looked up her.
Yeah, I looked at her IMDb. There's like nothing there. She was horrible. She was talking like herself. She wasn't even trying to, like, Belle's voice is very sweet and she talks kind of high and like, oh, Papa. And then like this lady's just like, okay, kids. You know, Gaston, you're kind of a jerk. And I'm like, what is happening right now?
Especially
she was
since
mean.
The cool thing about this too is the stories that she reads the kid is just repurposed.
Mm-hmm.
Disney shorts from like the 40s.
Yeah.
And 30s.
And they just
definitely
try to...
the 30s and 40s.
Oh yeah, it's definitely 30s.
Because at
and
one
40s.
Point they do Three Little Pigs.
Yeah. It's really weird. They're just doing it. They're using this as an excuse for old Disney shorts. And I'm like, this is the best way we could have gotten this across.
This is why I wanted to talk about House of Mouse leading into
it
this.
It makes no sense. The Gaston in particular, who did do a couple more things. He was in like Baywatch and stuff.
He was in...
Wait, now I gotta pull up this
guy.
What?
What is this man's name?
Hold on. I'm getting it.
What?
I'm getting it.
He had Baywatch bod. He did have muscles.
But they weren't great muscles. It was pretty
but
sad.
But it wasn't like the padding that they have in the parks.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. That's just all the performers they have are professional body lifters.
Yeah, hold on. I'm pulling up the way. Okay. Lindsay McLeod? I don't know.
McLeod?
McLeod played Belle. Christine Cavanaugh was Carol the Bookworm. Jim Cummings was Big Book. Where is Gaston? Kirsten Storms was in it?
Wow.
I guess she was one of the kids.
There was, like, I at one point I said, like, reads to the kid. There was at least, like, five or six.
Okay, I'm gonna find Gaston. I don't know why they're not showing him on the Google. I saw him.
On the Google?
On the Google. Here we go. IMDb will have it.
All right.
What's insane is IMDb has this ranked 7.3 out of 10.
Because of people like me.
Because people like you, for sure. Because there's 6 user reviews, and they're all positive except one. And I don't know how, because this is terrible. Okay, I found his name. It's Wolf Bauer, I'm pretty sure is how you say it. It's B-A-U-E-R.
No headshot.
No headshot. He's known for Mission of Mercy, Baywatch Nights, and The Bold and the Beautiful. Guys, I feel like we're allowed to play a small snippet.
Yeah. I don't think Disney's going to do a copyright strike.
I don't think Disney's going to copyright strike me. I am finding how he talks, and I'm going to play it for y'all. Hold on.
I don't get it. I have broad shoulders, good teeth, and a sport a thick head of healthy, shiny hair.
Well, I won't argue with the thick head. But, you know, Gaston, maybe, just maybe, people make decisions based on friendship rather than looks.
Oh, that's a good one, Belle. Ah, you almost had me there.
He's impossible.
That was probably the best clip you could have pulled up.
Yeah.
In 2 seconds.
Yeah, really, that was just, I took a little leap of faith there and just picked a moment. It's terrible. He has this weird...
Watch it.
It
just do it.
He has this weird accent that pops in and out, and it's very Tommy Wiseau-esque.
Would our viewers know what The Room is?
Yeah, I'd hope
Wait,
so.
Do we call listeners?
Listeners.
Listeners. See, I work in video, so I always think of viewers.
Yeah, they can't see us. I'm sure, you know, at some point we'll start posting video, but no, until then, they just listen. But yeah, Tommy Wiseau, this is painful. It's painful. I don't understand it. There was no point for it. The people that like this, I have questions.
Well, you're married to one. I would watch more of these.
Yeah, but you watch it. You're watching it, ironically.
Isn't oh, yeah, no doubt.
It's like you watch it because you know it's terrible.
You're watching a train wreck.
You're watching a train wreck that you just can't stop. It's, oh my God.
Man, they put this together.
Mm-hmm.
They thought this was a bop.
It was not a bop.
The set was kind of pretty.
The set was pretty. It looked like it was reused from something else, though. I can't figure out what it is, but it looks similar to something else I used to watch as a kid.
Oh, another thing.
Hmm.
That I really liked in addressing. Nobody in the animated movie liked reading,
yeah.
But there's a bookstore.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least the live action were like, okay, there's like 5 books in this church that nobody goes to.
Oh my gosh.
That is the 2 things I will
yeah,
say.
Yeah. No, it's, well, no, no one said they didn't like to read in the original movie.
Well, they're like, oh gosh, she reads.
Well, I think they're just making fun of her.
I know. Well, no, because even Gaston's like, oh, how could you read this?
Yeah,
there was anti-book.
There's some anti-book
they were anti-book
rhetoric going on. But no, so yeah, guys, it's terrible. I wouldn't recommend, but if you really want to hurt yourself, you can look up Sing Me a Story with Belle. It's on YouTube.
This is, again, something we could find, though.
Yeah, this is still something you can find on the internet.
Like, same thing with the comic books. If you wanted to,
you could find
them and you can buy them.
But
this final
thing, released in 1999, is a hybrid of the failed animated show and Sing Me a Story with Belle, called Belle's Tales of Friendship, as she recalls her time in the castle. The best John could find is a trailer. It is not streamed anywhere online, so...
Like, there was a status screen that said, looking for streamable sources.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a pirated website, too.
Oh, you
I
went
couldn't
through...
find nothing.
We're not telling you to go on pirated websites. But
no, but I was so...
John was so determined
to
try to find
this. I needed to finish
this. And, yeah, you can't find it. If someone does know where to find this thing...
If you own a VHS.
If you own it, oh, Mike, I'm not kidding. I will pay you.
This circles back into owning physical media.
Once again, this does circle... When you own the physical media, Disney can't take it away from you at the end. But yeah, no, Disney has decided this was so terrible. It needed to be scrubbed. And somehow, the Sing Me a Story with Belle has made it on the internet and has prolonged life here. But this 1999 hybrid show,
released on Disney VHS,
released on VHS, is just gone. It is ranked like a 4-star on IMDb, which is insanely lower than the
Sing Me a Song.
So
they're saying that Sing Me a Song was good, but this was awful. Bad.
And I'm sorry, Sing Me with a Song was already terrible. So
in the best way possible.
Oh my gosh. So I can't even imagine what this thing is. I think it would destroy, like, my soul, to be honest. This has already killed me so much.
Because the funny thing is, because the only thing, I found a YouTube video.
Yeah.
That was a little bit more expansive than the trailer, which was just the opening credits, the opening very short of the opening scene, and then the closing credits as she goes to expand the story out of the bookstore. So technically, in the mythos of the Beauty and the Beast world, this is the last element. As Belle and her friends, Lewis and Carol, go out into the world to spread the message of Beauty and the Beast. So when we're going in the timeline, this is technically the definitive...
The end.
End of the Beauty and the Beast mythos.
Wow, that's depressing.
So...
Well...
This is the timeline then.
Yeah, this is a lot of information. So we're going to try to give you the timeline now to wrap this up. All right. So
it starts with the narration in the stained glass.
Yeah.
Then we cut to the Christmas movie because there's the scene that explains the backstory. So,
oh, that's true. But then you're splicing a lot of stuff.
Well, that's the thing.
Here.
We are making a master cut of the story.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So then you have to put that spot there. Then the movie proper starts.
Uh-huh.
Then, this is where it gets tough, is after the Beast saves Belle.
I would say you would go into Belle's magical world first, then Enchanted Christmas.
So I would do Belle's magical world.
Yeah.
The comic books.
Oh yeah, they're in there too. Then Enchanted Christmas, like the
because
rest of it.
Because that has a very definitive endpoint that could lead into something there.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to look at this.
Okay, so it goes from beginning of Enchanted Christmas into the movie, which then cuts at the winter parts to Belle's Magical World, the Marvel Comics, and then the end of Enchanted Christmas, then the rest of the film.
Or in the rest of the film.
Or no, we're
going
in the
great.
Film, but then also you go into the Kingdom Heart plots.
Yes, the Kingdom Heart plots.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, exactly. Because you need to go to the Kingdom Heart plots, so it's definitely some... The first one definitely takes place before the ballroom scene, so something there has happened. Somehow, she gets teleported out and kidnapped by Maleficent and the evil gang.
Right, right.
And Beast goes and saves her, brings her back, because then we go into the ballroom dance.
Right.
And then we can pick on
from
there.
And then you can pick on from there, which I think would be Kingdom Hearts 2. And I
would
say...
No, that was the... When we said the ballroom dance, that was in Kingdom
Hearts 2. Oh, okay.
Hearts
I'm sorry. You're right. So I would say after Kingdom Hearts, we'd go into Disney Dreamlight Valley, basically. Because it's, like, right in that same time period, basically, of that, like, they know each other and they're close, but they're not.
So, no, I would actually go back on that because...
They had a dance already.
Oh, they had the dance.
I'm pretty sure they had the dance already in this. Yeah.
So rather than go outside to the balcony, they go back into the house.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
I want to say, either way, though, it would either be Dreamlight Valley is, like, right before Kingdom Hearts starts, or it would be right after. But I feel like...
I'm saying for our sacred timeline, let's put it before Kingdom Hearts.
All right, so it's probably Dreamlight Valley, then the Kingdom Hearts, then back into the film.
Which the movie ends. At which point we find the ending of the Christmas movie because they're recounting the events of the Christmas movie.
Okay.
The way that it like starts and ends is the characters recount the events of the Christmas movie.
Right.
So that would then take place at the end of Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
At which point we go into, what is it called? The Sing Me a Story.
Sing Me a Story with Belle.
And then we end it with...
The 99 hybrid animated show called Belle's Tales of Friendship.
That is the end of all that is Beauty and the Beast.
My gosh, this hurt my brain.
This was a wonderful journey.
No, it was, guys, this, I don't know if you can tell, this was a deep dive. And we've been looking stuff up all day, too.
Yeah, this was a 2-day
This is, which I know that would be like, oh, 2 days, it's not a big deal. It is when you have full-time jobs, okay? Like, we're doing the best we can.
Especially for a concept that we came up with on Saturday.
Yeah, no, this was definitely an endeavor. There's so much more we could say, but like...
Like, if you want in-depth analysis of films...
Of each single one, we could, but we're trying to give a general overview, you know?
Like, I went into detail with the one that was, like, the three episodes.
But yeah,
even
yeah.
Even then, those were broad strokes.
No, like, we could really dive in and rip things apart, but...
You can tell if I don't like it, I don't memorize the title.
We would be here for 3 hours if we did that, and we would need more time to personally analyze each one, and we really did. There were moments we checked out of these things because it just got too painful. So, hey, if you listen to this whole thing, congratulations, you're now a Beauty and the Beast aficionado.
Yes.
To say the least. So, yeah, thanks for listening to this. I guess you would call it, like, Beauty and the Beast. Well, no, we did. I was gonna say multiverse, but I don't even know if that's correct. It kind of is, because there's so many weird
things. Because there are, we have our timeline, and there are, like, two or three branch
But it's the expanded, events. It's the expanded universe. It really is so much... Once again, it just reminds me that Disney will drive any property into the ground as long as it makes them money. And that makes me sad. So, but this was a lot
so
of fun.
So sorry about sad things.
Oh, man. I really, it's one of those things they act like, oh, it's a sacred piece. And I'm like, but it has so much stuff to
it. Why'd you make all this extra stuff?
And why did you do all this stuff? And, like, not even well. Like, so much, like... effort like not used here, mm-hmm. You know, especially like that later 90s stuff, the sing along with Belle stuff, like it really, the effort was not there, and I'm just very confused how that came to be, especially knowing Disney's standards for princesses and things like that. Like, she would have never made it in the parks.
No, that actress
would not have been cast for even the parks. So how did she get a TV show? Like, I have questions, but you know what? No one here is probably going to know the answers.
No, but they're going to look it up now.
And I don't say I didn't warn you. But with that being said, I think we can wrap it here. They probably heard enough about Beauty and the Beast.
My brain hurts. Give them more.
Give them more. We could do so much analysis. I think we're good for now. This is such a huge overview. My brain hurts thinking about how much is here.
It only makes you wonder if other properties also had.
Oh, we're gonna find out.
Yeah, I'm sure people will message us that.
Oh, we're gonna find out. This is now going to become a rabbit hole thing for us.
So I'm all for it.
I'm all for it too, but man, Disney.
We love you.
We love you, Disney, but this one hurt a little bit, okay? Howard Ashman, I'm really sorry.
Only Howard.
Howard would have lost his mind. I'm sorry, like, we gotta end this on, once again, a man's heart and soul went into this beautiful piece of media, and he put his whole... like, his whole soul into
his
this.
His being.
How he felt he transposed into the Beast... and they took someone's heartfelt love for something and their swan song and something they felt they needed to share with the world, this beautiful, beautiful piece, and made some of the worst sequel spin-off things I have ever seen. And honestly, they should be a little ashamed of themselves. Just a little bit.
Well, that's why they're slowly pretending a lot of these don't exist.
Honestly, as they should. And meanwhile, here we are just bringing them back to life.
Oh, so we're bringing them right into the spotlight.
Disney needs to send a formal apology to Howard Ashman's family. Seriously. But thank you guys so much. If you listen to the end, you're amazing. Thank you guys so much for your support. Remember to please follow us on Instagram at Mickey and the Mouse Pod. And we'll see what next week's episode is going to be.
You know what I'm hungry for? Be our guest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're in the parks. Be our guest.
Be our guest. Let's go. Bye, you guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening.